President Bush has reported some progress in negotiations with China. Mr. Bush and his aides are writing a letter to express regret for the mid-air collision that sent down a U.S. surveillance plane and killed a Chinese pilot. The Chinese government had demanded a full apology. President Jiang Zemin and his aides have reportedly seen a draft of the letter and so far are dissatisfied with it. The letter also calls for a joint commission to investigate the incident and broker the return of the 24 Americans still grounded in China. Our Dan Shore discussed this week's negotiations with David Shambaugh, who teaches international affairs at George Washington University, and Don Oberdorfer, who teaches international relations at the Johns Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies.
Don, let me begin with you. We know that there have been two meetings with the crew, a third meeting scheduled for Saturday. If you ask what's happening there, you will get from almost everybody, from Secretary Powell, there's been movement. From Ambassador Puryear, there's been movement. Movement seems to be the great word. Do you think now this is following an optimistic course?
Well, I certainly think it's more optimistic than it was several days ago, because just to have the crew sitting there on Hainan Island and the Chinese leadership deliberating and nothing happening except some words flying back and forth across the Pacific Ocean was not a good thing. And to the degree that the Chinese are now engaging the crew, it sounds as though they are talking to them, perhaps preparing to make some decision to let them go.
Right. And David, let me add to that some indication that they're going to convene a so-called maritime commission established under some treaty some time ago, so each side could air its version of what happened. Does that also sound optimistic?
It does, Dan. Actually, this maritime commission was established 2 years ago, I believe, because of another incident, that one between the aircraft carrier Kitty Hawk, which was patrolling in the Sea of Japan and was being shadowed by Chinese submarines. We then scrambled planes to chase the submarines, and it created quite a situation at that time. In fact, coincidentally, the commander of the Kitty Hawk at that time was Admiral Dennis Blair, currently the commander-in-chief of the Pacific, and in the middle of this accident.
And our ambassador is Joseph Puryear, who was the commander of those forces as admiral as well. Go ahead.
So in the wake of that incident, both countries felt that there needed to be some kind of mechanism similar to what we had with the former Soviet Union for incidents at sea. So they set up this military maritime commission, which has essentially existed on paper to date, but it is a mechanism there, and they can convene it as early as they want to, and that will provide a forum for both sides to air their respective positions.
Don, do you think that the Bush administration has handled this as well as it could have?
No, I don't. I don't want to give them tremendous black marks. The president came out initially with some rather prudent statements, but the statements initially showed no degree of sensitivity toward the Chinese side. And it was all what we wanted, what we thought we should have, was not our fault, etc. And after several days of this, the first Secretary Powell and then President Bush began speaking of their regret that the Chinese airman was killed and that a Chinese plane was lost. I think had they made such comments at the beginning, it would have been much better. I think, understandably, the American military was angry at the beginning of this episode, but that's not the way to handle an incident with the Chinese.
David, help us to understand a little better. What is the Chinese side? They have a hot dog pilot who's playing games with an American plane, conducting surveillance, and then there's this accident that would seem to be almost waiting to happen, an accident like that. What is there about the Chinese side that we should take into consideration?
Well, unfortunately, this incident encapsulates really a lot of the most severe sensitivities in the Chinese political culture, and a lot that the Chinese Communist regime stands for, namely protection of sovereignty and reunification of the nation after what they call 100 years of humiliation. Here we have, in their view, a foreign military pressing right up against the envelope of sovereignty, spying on the country, and then loss of life, as Don just indicated, the Chinese pilot. And then the American side did not early on express regret over the loss of life, seemed only concerned with the 24 Americans, and from our perspective, obviously rightfully so. And this may have to do with the fact that the new administration has no China specialists in it.
I see.
I think it also has to do with just our own American consciousness. I thought that the Clinton administration handled the bombing of the Chinese embassy in Belgrade very poorly. It said, oh, by the way, we're sorry.
We did apologize there, and we did offer compensation there.
We did, Dan, but it was wrung out of us, and the view was in the Chinese public that this had been deliberate. And they have never really been disabused of that view.
Really?
I think one of the things that this plays into is the general feeling of most Chinese that the United States is coming after them.
That's very much the case. They've been treated to years of propaganda about the United States, and in the wake of the Belgrade bombing and many other incidents, including the time the American Navy boarded one of their ships on the high seas a few years ago, they feel that they're the aggrieved party, that the United States is trying to contain them, undermine them, subvert them, overthrow their regime, and here's a very symbolic affront.
Don, do you think that flight should continue?
I think there ought to be a serious discussion within the U.S. government about that. This, in a way, is a very different thing from the surveillance flights with the former Soviet Union. We were enemies, and we were equals, more or less, a lot more equal than we are with China. With China, we have a very ambiguous situation. Our military people are worried about what would happen if there was a dust-up regarding Taiwan, and yet we're not enemies. We're trying to be at least friendly competitors.
Bush administration has stressed competition with China.
Yes, above the idea that we are strategic partners
right.
and that sort of thing. I don't think, though, that the Bush administration, the president, or the others, is intent on getting into a big dispute or a fight with China. But when we have things like these flights, unless they're very well thought through, they do cause a serious problem, and it is, as I say, an ambiguous situation at best.
Well, I don't think that we're going to cease these surveillance flights, nor do I think we should, but we perhaps can be more careful, and we can, as Don suggests, establish some rules of the road for them and for the intercepts by the Chinese of them. But this notion of strategic partners and competitors strikes me as a very false dichotomy. In fact, we are both, and these surveillance flights emphasizes the strategic competition side. We're going to continue to watch them because we're nervous about what they could do to Taiwan and the potential destabilization of East Asian security, and they are equally concerned about us and our military presence in the region.
Thank you, David Shambaugh. Thank you, Don Oberdorfer. Let me just repeat what President Jiang Zemin says as he visits Latin America. In Chile, he said, "I visited many countries, and I see that when people have an accident, the two groups involved, the two parts, always say, 'Excuse me.' Maybe the end of this will be, 'Excuse me.'" This is Daniel Shore.